Carter with the Special Needs Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to listen today. I was so excited to receive an email with feedback this morning. The listener requested that I include more information about school-age kids, so I will attempt to incorporate that as I go along. I was thinking mostly parents would be listening to the show, but now I know there's at least one teacher listening too. So it really does help me to hear from you and get more information on what you want me to talk about. So please, please, please send me those emails. Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com. And thank you for the listener that sent the email this morning. I really do appreciate that. The topic today is on visual sensory processing. And visual sensory processing is how we process what we see. Our eyes take in the information, and our brain determines what we are looking at and tells our eyes how to respond, usually by either continuing to look at it, blinking, or looking away. We also have responses with our body by sometimes putting our hands up to block our face, or different things just depending on what the stimuli is. Now, as usual, I'm keeping the descriptions here extremely general. I'm not trying to educate people on all of the structures of the eyes and how that works in great detail. My purpose here is to help people understand more about the process in general, what to look for in kids, and what to do about it. I would also like to say that visual processing is not the same thing as whether or not your child can see. In fact, many times their vision is perfect as far as what an eye doctor would look for in a general eye exam. If you're noticing some of the vision issues, it is a good idea to have their vision checked by an eye doctor. But I'm not suggesting that this is the whole problem. I have a lot of parents that get their kids' eyes tested, and the doctor determines they need some type of correction with glasses. Parents often think that this will fix any of the visual processing things that are going on as well, but that is generally not the case. On the other side, I have kids that get their eyes checked, and the doctor says, their vision's great. Then parents think that means the visual processing is not an issue because the doctor said there's no problem. Hear me now, that is not the case. The eye doctors are looking at the function of the eye structures as far as the lens contracting and dilating, the optic nerve function, and other things that are related to the child being able to focus on objects in the environment as a result of the eye structures functioning properly. Visual processing is, once the eye takes in information, how the brain interprets what you're seeing. Does the brain recognize what the object is and what to do next with that information? I also want to mention that when we look at something straight on, in normal eye function, this is how we see details of things. We see colors, shapes, size, how far or close it is to us, and any other detailed type of information about objects. However, we also have peripheral vision, which includes objects that are to the right and left sides. When you're focused straight ahead, you can still notice things to each side, but these things in the periphery will be blurry or out of focus. We can see things are there, but we don't really pay attention to them unless we're thinking about it in particular, like you're probably doing right now, or if something moves. When we see something move in our peripheral vision, what do? We turn our head to look at the object straight on. This is how we get details about this moving object. Generally, things in our peripheral vision do not have color or details. We don't notice these things all of the time because it would be too distracting. We only pay attention to them when we need to. For example, when we're walking around in our environment, our peripheral vision can help keep us from running into things on the side like walls or furniture. Now, we're also born with a reflex called a blink reflex. This is a protective reflex that is meant to protect our eyes from bright lights and from objects getting into our eyes. Blinking is the automatic response we have when something is coming towards our eyes or face. You know, like when a fly is coming towards your face suddenly, or someone throws a ball to you when you weren't really paying attention. We can also have this automatic response of blinking when there's a very loud sound. You can check this reflex easily with babies by bringing a toy quickly toward their face. And, of course, stopping before you actually touch their face or their eyes. But just watch to see if they blink at the sight of it. You can also often get this response by touching their nose gently with your finger. If you are not seeing this reflex, there may be a neurological issue and they should be evaluated by a neurologist to determine if there is more going on. At the very least, bring it up to your pediatrician and get their advice as well. However, visual sensory processing is not related to the reflexes. Visual sensory processing is not an automatic response. It is a slower process where the visual stimulation comes in through the eyes, goes back to the brain, and then the brain tells our eyes what to do next. For example, let's say an infant wakes up from a nap in their crib and they start fussing. When a person comes in to pick them up, they see the person's face and it's their mom. The process broken down is their eyes look at the person's face. The information about the person's face is sent to their brain, and their brain determines that face is familiar, so it sends signals to their body to start calming down because their mom is here. It's a complex example broken down very, very simply, but you get the idea. Another example with a child slightly older, let's say the child is playing with a puzzle. One of those wooden puzzles with the pieces that have little knobs and they inset into the board. And has a picture on each piece and a picture in each space where the pieces fit in. The child picks up a puzzle piece, looks at the piece, looks at the puzzle board, scans the board for the matching place, and puts the piece into the correct space. In this process, the eyes look at the picture on the puzzle piece, the brain gets the information, and determines what the picture is on the piece. Then the child looks at the board, and the brain is continuously receiving signals about what the child is seeing on the puzzle board, until the eyes finally look at the correct place, and the brain recognizes it as a match, and tells the child to put the piece in that place. Again, it is more complicated than that, but you get the idea. As with some of the other areas of sensory processing, two extreme ways of looking at this are with kids who are unable to process the information fast enough to make an appropriate response, or kids who process the information very quickly and may get overstimulated from all of the details coming at them at once. The kids who are delayed in processing the visual information take longer to recognize differences in objects. With the puzzle example from earlier, this child will take longer than other kids their age to complete a 9-piece wooden puzzle, or any puzzle for that matter. I want to use the example of the wooden puzzle for now, though. If all 9 pieces are laid out on the floor next to the puzzle board, and you ask them to find the cat piece, they may struggle to find the piece, even if they know what a cat is and what a cat looks like. When they visually scan over all of the pieces, they may pass over the cat piece first thing, but it might take their brain another 30 seconds to realize it saw the cat piece, and now try and go back to where they saw it before. Think about their processing being delayed. So if they look from one piece to the next and on to the next, they can easily get frustrated because by the time they realize they recognize the cat piece, they may not remember where it was and essentially have to try to do it again. With all 9 pieces showing, this could really be nearly impossible, and I would not be surprised if this child found it easier to just get up and run off, or scatter the pieces to try and put an end to this very difficult game. I don't want to get too far off track by saying this, but a better strategy for this child would be to only put out 2 pieces to start with. This would seriously cut down on the amount of objects they have to try to process in order to find the cat. As they go along, if they're doing well with 2 pieces, next time you do this activity, have 3 pieces at a time. Help them be successful. Also, with this activity, and any other activity similar to this, not only could it be difficult to process where the cat piece is on the floor amidst all the other pieces, but once they find the cat piece, or you ultimately help them find it since 9 pieces are way too many, now they have the problem of finding where it goes on the board. At least now they have the piece in their hand to reference what it looks like exactly. However, they still have to visually scan the board with 9 possible spaces and try to locate the cat yet again. Same strategy applies here. Cover the area of the board that doesn't have the cat. Only leave maybe 2 or 3 spaces uncovered so they don't have to process as much in order to find the correct place. Repetition is key here. Once this child has seen this puzzle and completed it many times, not in the same day, but over time, the pieces will become familiar and their brain will start to recognize each piece more quickly than before. So eventually, with this particular puzzle, they should be able to complete it, given all 9 pieces at one time, and without covering any parts of the board. This same idea should be considered and applied to all activities with this child. Cut out the clutter, basically. Even for a person with typical visual processing, is it easier to find a paperclip in your junk drawer when there are 100 random things thrown in there with it, or when there are maybe only 10 other objects in the drawer? As these kids get older, learning to read can be extremely difficult. They may need extra time learning to label letters and sight words. Copying notes from the whiteboard or the chalkboard can be nearly impossible. Other things that you may notice, as a toddler, it may take them a little longer than expected for them to recognize a family member when they come in. They might have a hard time finding their shoes across the room when you point in that direction. You might think, if it was a snake, it would have bitten you, because they just keep walking right on past it. They may have trouble finding something that is partially covered up by another object. Difficulty with sorting, like putting red cars in a red bucket and blue cars in a blue bucket, or matching socks to put away clean laundry. They may have trouble completing shapes, orders, or puzzles, skipping lines when they're reading or writing. They might appear to be lazy, or that they don't care, or that they just aren't trying hard enough. At school, you may want to have these kids sit at the front of the room, closest to the teacher. This will eliminate a lot of the visual information they have to process before being able to look all the way at the teacher in the room. Also, if most of the visual information is behind them, they may be less distracted by any movements the other kids are doing naturally while sitting at their own desks or doing activities or when they get up to throw something in the trash. The kids on quite the opposite side of this process visual information very quickly, and when we see issues with this, it's because their brain tries to process every single thing they see. This is similar to the kids with auditory processing issues that try to process every sound in their environment. Their brains are noticing everything in the environment that is being seen through their eyes, and they are trying to pay attention to all of it at once. This in itself can be very distracting and overstimulating. It must be tiring and overwhelming for these kids to try to focus on any one task when their brains are going a mile a minute processing everything they see. Remember, I'm just talking about the vision stuff today, but it's highly likely they're not just processing what they see, but also what they are hearing or feeling on their skin or who knows what else to complicate matters. I'm just trying to keep it simple for now and only consider the visual aspect of this. Not only are these kids processing what they are seeing directly in front of them, but every time something moves in their peripheral vision, they are noticing that and turning to look directly at that as well. Some kids try to deal with this by trying to tune it all out. They might avoid making eye contact with you, or look out the window up towards the sky or at the trees blowing in the wind. They might prefer to focus on one thing that is visually stimulating, like a light-up spinning toy directly in front of their face, or they might give it a sideways glance where they are turning their eyes to one direction, left or right, to look at it without turning their head towards it. This may be a possible combo of the looking directly at it and using peripheral vision at the same time. This type of visual processing is common to see in kids with autism, but doesn't automatically mean they have autism if they do this. One of the strategies for kids who process visual information this way is to avoid making eye contact with people. One reason for this may be that they already know that when they look directly at you, they see every single detail in front of them. And this is overstimulating and makes them feel anxious or uncomfortable because their brain is working overtime. However, they often figure out that if they look at you using their peripheral vision, they can still tell you are there, but they don't see all the details because that is how peripheral vision works, as I mentioned before. Things in this area are blurry, and we usually only notice them when they move or when we're thinking about that area specifically. Using this vision may be easier for them because their brain doesn't have a lot of details to try and process. It can be less stimulating for them and make them feel more comfortable. It's not because they don't like you and don't want to look at you, at least when we're talking about this with relation to visual processing. Of course, the visual processing stuff may not be the only thing affecting eye contact with kids, but it is one thing to definitely consider when you're trying to help them. Another consideration for home and at school, or many public places, is lighting. Fluorescent lights, for example, can be very annoying, distracting, and could cause headaches in kids with visual processing issues. These lights can have that effect on people with typical visual sensory processing if they are in a place that like that for too long. Also, kids that are sensitive to light will usually let you know. Some of the ways they show you are by squinting their eyes, or covering their eyes with their hands or their arms or blanket, or just hide their face and eyes in any way they can think of. At home, they might turn the lights off, and if they can tell you, they might say it's too bright, or when they go outside on sunny days, they might blink a lot. Most of the time, the signs are pretty obvious, but keep in mind, it's not when we see them doing just one thing, but a combination of things that we really start to take notice. Also, it's usually not a problem unless it's affecting their ability to learn and play, like kids should, because they're distracted by the brightness, or it's preventing them from getting involved in kids' activities on the playground or outside in general. Some strategies to try are having them wear sunglasses when they're outside, or a baseball cap with the bill on the front to help block the sun. If they're in a stroller, bring a blanket so they can drape it over the front of the stroller, wherever they're sitting so they can block some of the light. And that's, of course, as long as it's not too hot underneath. When they're inside, you can use softer light bulbs at your house or in their bedroom to cut down on the brightness, but still give some light to the rest of the family. Have a quiet corner or a little area for them to go to at home so they can get breaks from the lights. And a good place to do that would be in their bedroom or just any quieter area of the house where you can put a blanket over a small table and they can go underneath to get in the darkness. This also actually works really well at church daycares and at school too. They also make those little kids' indoor tents that work pretty good. At school, because you can't change the lights from fluorescent to anything else, you could take some colored tissue paper and attach it to the ceiling to cover some of the lights, especially over the area where this child sits at their desk. Of course, it should be approved by the appropriate people in your school. Another thought on this topic is this. There are some kids that visual processing is actually a strength. They might be able to process visual information very quickly, in which case they might learn symbols like letters, numbers, shapes, words, and things like this very, very quickly, faster than other kids their age. This is something to pay attention to because you can use this to help them, especially if they're having issues with auditory processing. These two areas have different pathways to the brain, which means when one is having difficulties, the other one may not be. This is not always the case, but if you see a child who has trouble processing what you say to them, and they do not respond to requests or information that they hear appropriately, you can try using visual strategies to help them understand the information more quickly and easily. We often refer to these strategies as visual cues or visual schedules. An example is this. For a child with auditory processing delays, where it takes them longer to process what you say, let's say you tell them, go get your shoes, and they're not getting their shoes because their brain is taking longer than it should to figure out what you said and to have their body respond and get their shoes. So next time, you show them a picture of their shoes and at the same time say, go get your shoes. This time the child looks at the picture and immediately gets up to go get their shoes from their usual location. This is an ideal situation and doesn't always happen the first time that you try this, but sometimes you have to teach them. This can also work well with older kids at school for transitions from one activity to another or from one classroom to another. If they have a visual board showing them what comes next, and you can show them before changing to the next place, it can help prepare them in a better way for the transition or change in activity. They don't have to try and rely on their auditory processing in the situation. They can use the visual sense, which is easier and faster for them to process what is happening. That's all I have for today. If you have any questions about this topic or other topics, please, like I said, send me an email, allison@mymidwesttherapy.com, and I'll try to my best to help answer any questions in general. I can't make any diagnoses or specific recommendations for your individual child, but I can try to help you understand the concepts surrounding sensory processing and child development in general. Also, if you can check out my website, mymidwesttherapy.com, I will have some items posted that you might find interesting related to visual sensory processing. The products that I post on my website are ones that I personally use in my private therapy. Thank you so much for listening.